Welcome to The Grow Show, where we speak with leading business experts to help you grow yourself, grow your business, and grow your community. Now, here's your host, Gary Jones.
Hey, 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 we are live. So, for everybody watching live, thank you very, very much. If you're watching on the replay, thank you so much as well. My name's Gary Jones. As you know, it says it in the corner just there. I am joined today by Wayne Trice, who is in that corner just there. Now, Wayne is, how do I describe Wayne? He's a magician. He's an entertainer. He's one of the hosts for Grow Live 2020. And I brought him back because he did such a good job for 2021 as well. And that's doing a massive disjustice. So, Wayne, how are you doing? And let people know who you are.
I'm doing okay. Thank you, Gary. Even better now I'm talking to you. Obviously, that should go without saying. Who am I? So my name is Wayne Trice from Magic in the Trice. Quick plug in the corner there. Also, hi to Nasty Bits in the office you don't need to see. So it serves a dual purpose. Always very good. So at the moment, I put myself out as a magician, entertainer, MC. I'm going to aim more towards MC stroke, host stroke, but with the magic in the background. So I've got the magical entertainment in the background. So I think I'm going to aim more towards that as we... hopefully, fingers crossed, to start coming out of this. Apparently, there's this thing called COVID going on. I don't know if you've heard about it. It's popped up every now and again.
Yeah.
So hopefully doing that. But also concentrating on weddings. They're the two areas I love to work in, at people's weddings and at corporate events, just getting it all to run smoothly and keep the event running, really.
Love it. And I think, if I remember rightly, we met at the start of kind of lockdown, I believe. It was about the March, April time, kind of last year. It was around that kind of time.
So,
at that time, obviously, you couldn't perform. You were kind of, you couldn't go out, you couldn't do stuff. And I was at the stage where I was thinking about Grow Live and about who I wanted to get involved with it. And straight away, your energy, your passion, your events know-how, when we were talking about events and kind of UMCing and all that kind of stuff, it made you a natural choice to become a guest for Grow Live 2020. And as I said in the intro, you did such a good job. I've got you back for 2021.
I'm doing the really bad guesting now. I'm sorry. I do apologise. But that's really kind of you to say. When I heard you speak about Grow Live, I think that's what got me was your passion coming across to me, and I know I can make a difference. That's it. And I hate saying that. It's very, very British, very English. Don't tell him you're any good at anything, for God's sakes. But that's the thing that comes across. That's the thing I know. I can make things, I can make things run more smoothly, professionally, and run better. And just give those little tweaks to the bits in the middle that people forget. Yeah. That just aid the overall, and I hope that's what came across. I think it did. So
it did. It did completely. And what was really good was I was able to bounce ideas off you, and you gave a different viewpoint to what I had. So that was fantastic. But how did you get into everything? Were you always into magic, always into events, or did it come kind of naturally, or just in a second?
Right. Are you sitting comfortably? Anyone that's watching this has got a very soft cushion they can sit on, because it's a very long... No, it's not a long story. So I'll give you the pre-seed version. Was that for whatever reason, I was always into magic when I was a kid. Watched it on TV. So we had Paul Daniels just coming into his heyday when I was about 7 or 8. You had The Great Soprendo. You had Copperfield. He used to syndicate his big shows over. There's another magician called Doug Henning. He's a fantastic magician. Similar to Copperfield, but different. So Copperfield was always suave and sophisticated. Doug Henning was bright colours, tie-dye tops, big love piece to everybody. Sadly taken away from us at the age of, I believe it was 52, sadly, but not before he had a show on Broadway. But an amazing, really amazing magician. So I was watching it. So if there was stuff on the TV, I had to watch it. Now, I would get a couple of books out of the library, because there are, if any magician of my age, all you youngsters won't have a clue about this, but when I wanted to look something up, I had to go to a library. I had to find the right book and then find the information in the right book. And 793.8 on the Dewey Decimal System is where all the magic books hang out. That's how often I went and looked at that part of the library. The number is now ingrained. Okay, but the books weren't that great. They weren't, you know, they were kids' tricks. And they're always, sometimes not always that well described. And I had no one in my family, or certainly my immediate family, that performed. So I didn't understand anything about performance. I never saw myself as a performer. And so they never, I did a few. The one trick I remember that everyone sort of knew at the time was the four jacks. So you put four jacks on top. I'm not going to do it. You put four jacks on top and then you put them into the middle of the deck and they all come back to the top again. But it was a very clunky card trick. So I would do those kind of things. And then I should have got the book. Am I allowed to break the wall a little bit and go and get up? Let me go and get
you break the wall, go for it.
Yeah, there we go. I won't get the other one. This is the one we need off my bookshelf at the back. This is the book. There was a TV show called Illusions, which I got the book out of the library for. Illusions was hosted by a guy called Fergus Roy. It was more about the history of magic rather than just magicians doing tricks. There was those on there. But what I didn't realise was that Fergus, being the canny Scot that he was, and I apologise, my printer has decided that right this moment it needs to clean itself. It's been sat there all day, obviously. Fergus was the canny Scot that he was. He'd married into the famous Davenport's magic family. I didn't really know about them until I've read this. And the last line in this book, and I don't know if this will come out, but I'll show you any. I'll try and show you any. The last line in the book was the address of their magic shop. So the last thing you read out of all of these was where to go and buy props. And that's what I did. I didn't even know these things existed. Charing Cross was the last station that you went into from where I got on the train. Charing Cross was the last station it ended up, so I didn't have to worry about getting off at the right stop. I just had to wait till the train stopped and then got off it. And then I had to find how I found this at the age of 13, I think I was. How I found this being the shy young retired, I wouldn't say boo to a goose at that age. And I wandered off into London. And I went, you had to go into the main station, down towards the underground, but don't go into the underground, go past the underground. There was a little parade of shops, like a little newsagents and a cafe and a sports shop there. And then just down the bottom, there was this big glass fronted shop, which was Davenport's Magic. And you walked in and it was like, I'd say Kid in the Sweet Shop, but it's really Kid in the Magic Shop, basically. Mm. And they had props and tricks and DVDs, VHS tapes, because they were just becoming a thing of putting stuff on. Decks of cards, little packet tricks in front of the counter. Amazing. And I believe it was Al, and I get the names mixed up, so if any magicians watching this, I apologise if I got this wrong. I think it was Al Woodrow, not Al Glennon, Al Woodrow, that was behind the counter, a lovely old magician. And he said, "Hello, young man, can I help you?" And I said, "Oh, I've got your book. I've come up into London." I think this is how it went. This is how it is in my head, but it's a long time ago, Gary. I've been asleep and had a drink since then. And he said, "Well, that's interesting. We've just started our young magicians club." He said, "Go through that door there." He said, "It's free." He said, "Go and have a look and see what." So I walked through this door into this little studio at the back, which had a stage and TVs and more cabinets with props and God knows what else in. And some adults doing magic, so I was obviously new blood, so I got pounced on to show you the new magic. And then, but there was also about 13, 14 younger guys, about my age, 13, 14, 15-year-olds, doing magic. And I can't remember how I sort of mingled in, as you do, you just sort of wander over and see what's going on. And that was sort of it. I was hooked. So every Saturday from 2 till 4 p.m., I used to go into Charing Cross. I used to go and watch magic, do magic, talk about magic, buy magic, because again, Fergus being the canny Scot, we were attached to a magic shop, so we always went and bought stuff from there. Ate McDonald's, you can tell which one I did the most of. I was very good at that, a lot of practice. And I spent, I don't know how many years there, going up every Saturday. We did shows, we did just trips to Blackpool when we got old enough, and that's where I stayed. And it was, in fact, talking to Blackpool, there's a big Blackpool magic convention every year, apart from this year, obviously. Yeah. But the last year was the last one I'd been to, sorry, the first one I'd been to in absolutely years, and we met up about 15 of us, and it was fantastic. It was like we'd never been away. And I remember that it was, what a great group of guys, sadly. There were a couple of girls when I first joined, but it was mainly guys that... and we never had an argument. We all just got on and bonded over our love of magic. It was absolutely fantastic, so it was really nice to catch up with them. So that's a very long answer to a short question, so sorry about that.
No, that was good. And lots of points to pick up on. One bit that we're going to kind of probably talk about all the way through, and this is just a little thing that you mentioned, was the last line of that book. And what a call to action that is. You know, you've read it, you've enjoyed it, you've got to the last bit, how do I get more information? You come and see us. You know, and that is such a great way of, you know, of doing it. So, yeah, little marketing message just there as well. Right. Spot on. Yes. I'm guessing, just like anything, you had to learn the skills. It took you a while to kind of learn how to do stuff and perfect your craft, which goes on to kind of the message of consistency, I suppose. But how long do you reckon from that first initial kind of, I'm going to pop into the shop and I'm going to, you know, get something to test and buy, to actually, I can do this trick quite well. You know, how long was that kind of time period? We're talking weeks, we're talking months, years. What was it?
Depends what the trick is and what it demands that you do. So there are lots of different tricks. Mm-hmm. And you have things that are called self-working, which if a bloke in the pub says, oh, I've got his great magic trick, watch this, that's generally what they're doing. It requires no effort, just requires a bit of performance. But sadly, they don't put the effort into that either. Right up to knuckle-busting, sorry, what we call knuckle-busting, that's really heavy sleight of hand, perfect technique stuff. Now, a lot of the stuff I was buying was self-working stuff at the start, and doing card tricks. So I had a bit of a head start. Sorry, brain died for a minute. Bit of a head start because I used to play card. Because again, I come from an age when we didn't have iPads, Google, the internet, etc. We made our own entertainment. And if I was ever at I spent a lot of time with my nan and granddad's over weekends. Mm-hmm. And if I was ever there, they had lots of decks of cards from one of the clubs that that they cleaned at a weekend. And so I would always be playing with cards, or I would go and play cards with our next door neighbours in the garden. So I had a reasonable handling of cards, albeit left-handed. So I hold cards in my right hand when I'm dealing, and I should be holding in my left hand. And it gets really difficult when you have to read a magic book, because they assume that you're holding the cards in the left hand. You have to do all this revert. It's horrible. I always try and tell kids, it doesn't matter, but hold your cards in the left hand. I forgot where I was going with that now. But so I had a bit of a head start. So there's a varying amount of time. Okay.
Yeah.
I would say you never stop learning. I mean, I still learn stuff today. I still, you know, there's new techniques. There's techniques that I never learned properly that I've had to relearn. I think the key message is just practice. And even if it's a self-working trick, so even if it requires very little effort on my behalf to make the trick work, there's still effort required to present it properly. And that's where a lot of people go wrong, is they see the word self-working, or they see that, you know, and they think that's it. And they don't see the other side of it, the presentation side. And I think, we won't go into the whole details of all of this because we'll be here all afternoon, is that that's where my theatrical side came in. I've done a lot of Amdram. I've done a lot of working backstage at theatres. I do tech for theatre stuff. But I think that's given me a really good knowledge of how to present something theatrically, because I've been watching people taking it in rather than just getting the trick out of the box and going, well, what does the instructor say, do this, and just doing that rote, as it were.
And I like that, because that definitely comes across. Because I've seen you do talks, I've seen parts of your performances, and I obviously saw your Grow Life 2020, and your performance aspect of it, you know how to keep a crowd, you know how to talk to people, you know how to kind of get them on side and really just kind of make them feel like they are part of what's going on. And that's skill in itself. But when you coupled with the fact that you are, from a layman's outsider's point of view, a damn good magician with kind of lots of tricks up his sleeves. Do you know what? You know, that's a powerful match to have. I know from playing the guitar when I was little that there's a difference between learning a song and performing a song. Massive difference.
definitely. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's... I'm not the best technical magician in the world, so that my sleight of hand isn't the greatest, but I can cover it with my gob and my personality. And sadly, there are not many, but there are a few magicians who are brilliant technically, but really struggle to put it across, or really struggle to find a personality that brings, you know, that makes them affable to normal people, in inverted commas. Sorry, guys, this is going to go out as a podcast. Half of this is going to make no sense whatsoever, going in the podcast.
Well, remember, this is also going on YouTube and stuff, so people can't see it.
I know.
But the beauty of what you've got is, as I say, you can marry the kind of mix between it. And is that kind of where you started to kind of move away from the magic, or move into, should we say, more of the events and the MCing and the hosting because of that performance side?
Yeah, I think it is. I enjoy doing it. I really enjoy doing that kind of thing. So I had a job for 23 years and one day. Not that I was counting, obviously. But I had a job for 23 years and I got involved with... So I had all the Amdram stuff. So I was doing pantomimes and stuff like that, which was... I'm just going to go back ever so slightly. The Barclays Magic Dramatic Society, who I was a member of, I've got them and the Demon Club. So that was the name of the magic club, I think, to thank for the person I am. Or to blame, one of the two. You can take your pick, I don't mind. Because I got a lot of flight time. So I got a lot of time doing magic on stage. And I didn't really know what I was doing, but they said, well, at the end of the pantomime, we need to get some kids up, we'll have a bit of fun. So I learned how to do that by getting them up and doing it. So I've always enjoyed that kind of performance. Now, I love walking around magic. And you know, at somebody's wedding, being able to go between guests and do tricks is amazing. Okay, cheer people up or do whatever. It's fantastic. But there is it is quite demanding. And I've also got, because I've also got this stage experience, I know how to walk out on stage. So I took over a role of old time musical, the chairman of the old time musical, so the guy that has to front the thing. And again, I learned by watching a previous person do it, and then I had to learn by doing. And I think that's where it came in. I found I had as much of a love, in fact, a little bit more of a love for being able to talk to people and bring things together rather than having to, you know, hit groups of people every time. So that's because that's really draining. Having to bring that energy to those groups every single time is really hard work. Plus, I saw a lot of, I was doing corporate events. So I saw a lot of corporate events where the MD or the CEO or John from accounts, whichever poor sap they managed to sling a microphone at, and said, "Go and introduce the next." But I saw a friend. I was doing tech for a friend of mine, and I can't even describe the introduction. But he was just going to come out to do this amazing magic, and he got the most dire introduction in the world. It was just all downbeat, and yeah, well, we've got him now, and I think he's going to do some magic. So here you go. And it's like, oh my God. But it's watching these events, and I, and a lot of event companies, I see they get all the big names, but they don't tee them up in just the right way. And I think it's just, and I think that's why, I think why I got this passion, that I think things could just be that little bit better by making those bits in between better, just raises the whole event. And it also stops people talking, or, you know, because if you've ever been to those events, it's you're fighting the wine and the food and the whatever. And it just gives them something else to focus on, or you can control where the focus is, and you have more control if you think more about it like that. And that's why I got this. I didn't realize quite how passionate I was, but I think I've really got this passion for it because I think it's quite important. It's lovely being the person out the front going ta-da, but if you can get that event, make the whole event and raise the whole event up, then that everybody wins, which is great.
Right. Completely agree. And I've been there where I've been sitting in the audience for a live event, and you've just come off really kind of heard a really good, passionate speaker, and then someone else just comes on and brings the energy back down. And it is that energy kind of in the room. You've got to manage it. But, you know, being events that you've kind of hosted, you know, you have got that energy all the way through, which is just fantastic. You know, it raises your game as a speaker, it raises your game as a participant at the event as well. So important. So important.
There's an old saying. So in the from the music hall side of things, there's an old saying. So the chairman was, going back in the old days, he would be the guy that would be, he would own the building or and he would be booking the acts. Mm-hmm. So he'd normally have a bit of banter with the acts. And if it went badly, because he was paying them, he'd have a go. But there was an old saying for these guys that a good chairman can rescue a bad show, but a bad chairman can ruin a good show. So you always have that in the back of your head, that if the show's going well, but you're no good, you're the weak link, you're the one that's bringing it all down. However, if your link can, you if you can manage that link between the acts that may not be quite on par, the show stays up there because you're bringing that energy back every single time.
What a quote. I love that. I haven't heard that before, and that's cracking. I love that. Have you got a favourite magic trick? Have you got one that sticks out in your mind?
Yes, and I wish I could do it for you, but I can't because I've got to get it all ready for tomorrow because busy day. But yes, so the one trick, and this is the trick that got me into magic, was what we call the torn and restored newspaper. So you've probably experienced this.
I've seen it a couple of times, yeah. I love it.
I remember seeing Alan Shackson doing that. I believe the programme was 5 Magic Minutes. Again, memory's a bit hazy, but I believe that was the programme. And I went and sat in our hall with around the age of 7 or 8 years old, ripping up newspapers, trying to work out how you could tear up newspapers without tearing it. And then Geoffrey Durham, as the great Soprendo as was, and then as himself, used to open his shows with it. And I was just sat there, and there was a certain aspect for it. I'm not going to spoil what the aspect is. There's one certain aspect of it that I just couldn't work out and I couldn't find for years. And now it's one of my most, I think it's my one amongst the most requested and probably best tricks, the ones I've really got down to it. Because the technique to make it work isn't overly complicated, but I've got to find the right timing. I've got to find the right mood to make that work. And that's where my bit comes into that, really. It's more about building that moment up rather than a lot of beginner magicians who I met will just want to rush through it, go ta-da, and it's not that. You can really enhance it just by holding off that little bit.
Yes, nice. I've seen it a couple of times. You did it at Grow Live last year because I think I requested it, or I said, "Please, can you do it?" It's brilliant, absolutely brilliant, and I still have no idea, and there's part of me that wants to know, but part of me doesn't want to know, because actually that's where the mystery is, and I'm happy with that.
Yeah. A lot of people go, I can't work out how you do it, and I sort of have to sit there going, well, that's good, because otherwise you'd be telling me I'm a rubbish magician, wouldn't you? If you could work
this out. This is true. I've got a theory of how you do it, but right. I'm not going to say it on here, because...
Does it involve unicorn poo and pixie dust?
Of course it does. How did you know?
Oh, crikey. How did you find out about that? Goodness sakes, man. Keep that to yourself, right?
Yeah, we'll do. Let's move. You know what? We've talked about magic all day, but I know you've been through a little bit of a fitness kind of journey recently. And I say recently, over the last year, or at least the last kind of 10 months. Do you mind talking about that? You know, can we dive into that a little bit?
No, if you've still got another 3 days to talk, Gary, let's go.
So for the people who don't know, Wayne has lost a lot of weight, and I'm going to let him kind of tell the story of how he's kind of done that.
So, very short story was about, so I am going to be 49 this, oh, hello, we've lost Gary. It's my show now. Oh, no, he came back. Damn. So close for a takeover.
It's that unicorn tears. That's what it is.
It was. So I turned 49 this year, and I was thinking about, weight and what have you, but never thinking about it very hard enough. If anyone's been in that situation at the moment, or has been in that situation, I'm sure you know, last year I hit around, I think that my heaviest weight, I hit 17 stone 12, so just under 18 stone. Don't ask me what that is in pounds or kilos. People go, what are that in kilos? I don't know. I'm too old to worry about things like that. Anyway, 17 stone 12. And my wife had decided that she wanted to do some weight. She didn't need to, but she decided that she wanted to. So she'd gone and joined one of the many meetings. I won't tell you it's Slimming World, but it was one of those. Okay, so yeah. You haven't heard. And she had lost 2.5 stone. She'd been going really well. And she said, why don't you try it? and it actually made it easier because I'm sorry to everyone on the thing. I don't really cook. I can burn salad. Cooking, it just doesn't make any sense in my head. So I don't do very much cooking. So, but she was saying, well, I'm preparing the meals. I can do mine, yours, whatever. And I looked and I thought, well, yeah, I should do something about it. I was in very, very large clothes. It was getting harder to get, not harder to get clothes, but the clothes were getting bigger. And I thought, well, let's see if I can do something about this. Mm-hmm. And I went on and I started to lose weight. I was really pleased. And I was making sure I was keeping the progress. I was monitoring the progress so I could see where I was going. Mm-hmm. And I was really pleased that I started to lose weight. And then I suddenly thought, you know, at the age of 48, going on 49, I thought, when you get to our age, you have to... Sorry, I say our age, you're a lot younger than me. When you get to my age, you have to worry about what is going to happen to this, your face and your body, when you start losing weight. So I thought, at the same time, I thought a little bit later, someone had mentioned the Couch to 5K. I'd heard a lot of people doing Couch to 5K, so I thought, do you know what? Let's try it. And that was it, really. So 3 times a week, I was... So Couch to 5K is we're going out and running 3 times a week. Basically, mm-hmm. And it starts off by having, you know, a 5-minute walk either end, and then you run for 60 seconds, and then you walk for a bit, and then you run for another. I mean, that was enough for me. I could have done that for the next, but they slowly build it up, which is fantastic, until at the end of week 9, you run for 30 minutes. Well, you run, shuffle, jog, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. for 30 minutes. Non-stop. So you go, you do your 5-minute walk, and then you just run for 30 minutes and then end. And I got to the end of the... So I did that. I got that. Even when I was on holiday, we went away to Suffolk while we were still allowed to go out. And it was beautiful. I ran along the beach of Suffolk.
Nice.
Doing one of the runs. It's really nice. Got up. I mean, I was getting up at 6 o'clock, you know, on my holiday. Got up at 6 o'clock. But I got to see the sun rise over the sea. Fantastic. And then it got to the end of week 9. I thought, well, I don't really want to stop this because, you know, I've got so far now. I've actually got to the stage now. Now I need to sort of keep it going. So I changed. So what I was doing was on Facebook, and people probably got fed up with me, but it was really, really good. Here's a top tip for anyone that wants to do this. I posted, at the time, I was posting a picture and a short message every time I went out. Mm-hmm. And what people did, people jumped on that, went, oh, really, well done, keep going. And I suddenly got a lot of likes, which is not the problem. I got people liking it and commenting and encouraging and motivating me. And that kept me going through those 9 weeks. And I thought, well, I don't want to keep. So I changed the hashtag. I was doing hashtag Couch to 5K. I changed it to Couch to 5K Plus and just ran 3 times a week for 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. If it was heavy rain, I wouldn't go out. But I would, 3 times in that week, I would be out running.
Yeah.
And I just kept it going. So I've just finished Couch to 5K Cubed, when it was the third lot of 9 weeks. So I've now changed it to run for a year. So I'm now going to run, just keep going out 3 times a week for a year. So I'm up to week 28 this week. So tomorrow will be my run two of week 28. And in the course of that, because of the diet and because of the running, I am now just over 3 stone down. So I'm now, at the moment, when I last checked, 14 stone 9 this morning, which I don't think I've been for many, many years. This waistcoat I put on, when I first bought it last, well, I first got given it last year, didn't fit me. I've now just had to pull it in tighter because it's got too big. So I'm going to have to start getting the... That's the other problem with going out. You know, going back out of lockdown, I've got to go and rebuy all my old wardrobe because I haven't got suits that fit me anymore, which is really great.
I say, what a bad problem to have. What a great problem to have. Well, yeah, it's worse. But
what I do want to say to people, though, is that I'm not... My willpower is not the best. It's not the greatest. So that first initial 9 weeks was fantastic. I was on it. We were counting the sins that some will do. And I still do that, and I've come off that, and my weight sort of stops, like, so I know I've got to go back onto that just to push me through it again. But don't think that, and I used to hear people say this and go, yeah, well, it's all right for you, but now I've done it and been through it. Mm-hmm. Don't think about having a curry. When you go, I'm going out Saturday night, let's just have a curry. Should you fancy curry tonight? Yes, have a curry. But that's not the end of the diet, or your change of, it's not a diet, it's a change of habits and change of way of life. slightly. So, you know, we've had Christmas, we've had Easter, we've had birthdays, and that hasn't stopped us enjoying those. So I'm not that strict that I go, oh no, I must only have four lettuce leaves and a peanut for my dinner, because I think that way madness lies. I think that's when people suddenly drop off it, they go, oh, well, that's the end of it. Whereas if you go, look, that's fine, yeah, pff, whatever, get on with it, and then get back to it after that, even if it's a week, like for Christmas or whatever, even if it's a week or so, and you just clear everything in the house, and then just be sensible about it. It's just being sensible about what you eat and the amount of exercise you do. I do so much more exercise now. And the thing I noticed, I went back into London, I've got some work in London, and I had to catch, I went and got a coffee, a black coffee, I hasten to add, and I was just going to get the train, and I saw the train was in on the platform, and normally I'd be going, oh, where's the escalator, because I need to get up there, and I'll do a couple of steps up the escalator, and I ran up the stairs. I ran up the stairs in London for God knows, and I didn't need an iron lung at the top either, which was great, which was another benefit. And that's when I realised that, you know, well, what a difference. Mm. What an absolute difference. So there you go. That's my joke. That's my bit. And I keep going. So I'm still doing the videos because I still want to keep, even for my own benefit, just keep a record. But I also still have people commenting and pushing me on and saying, yeah, you're great. Go for it. And I would never have put myself down as apparently I'm inspirational. I don't see myself as inspirational. I don't have that very British English thing. But apparently I've inspired a few other people to go out, do running, lose weight, whatever. So, you know, it's got to be a good thing overall, really.
Love it. There you go. And actually, do you know what? You are an inspiration. You know, you've been through that journey and you're still on that journey. You're changing your identity and you're changing your habits along the way. So therefore, it's a big step. Big steps, you know, the accountability on Facebook about posting those pictures. I never bought it. I saw them three times a week. You know, it was lovely to see that your consistency and your determination and commitment to it. That's what I kind of took out of it, which was fantastic. And I suppose that kind of leads on to kind of the last little bit. And that is, you know, all the way through, we've spoken about consistency. We've spoken about kind of keeping up with stuff. Because if you gave up after a couple of weeks of doing magic, you wouldn't be the person who you're doing now. And you wouldn't be hosting events and all that kind of stuff. I can't let you go without sharing a little trick, thinking about it. Well, is that all right?
Well, just as you mentioned, I just happen to have a little something
here.
Obviously, it's a recent one and it's great for camera. So I could show you this live, but I'm going to play a lot of people tell me that as a magician, they don't want to play cards with me. I don't quite understand that. But I'm going to try and prove why. I'm going to try and show you how you can play a full poker hand, like a roll flush, with just two cards. So watch, we have, they get into focus. Oh, I've gone the wrong way, backwards. Right, so we've got the 9, we've got the 10, we've got the jack, we've got the queen. Watch, the jack becomes the king, the queen becomes the ace, and that's why you never play cards with a magician, you see? It's ridiculous, isn't it? There you go. How does he do it? Why does he do it? And why is he doing it to me? None of those questions will be answered in the next 30 seconds.
I've got no words. If people wanted to find more info about you, book you for their event, pick your brains, whatever it is. Where
throw money at
you?
Me. I don't mind if you see me in the street.
Exactly.
Throw pound notes. I don't mind. So if you want to find me...
pound notes.
Pound if you remember those, show me age again. www.magicinthetrice.co.uk. I'm probably slightly more active on Facebook, so facebook.com/magicinthetrice. I've got an Instagram account, I never use it. If there's anyone there that wants to help me with that, please do. And I'm LinkedIn, so all your normal socials, basically.
Job done. And I always ask everyone who comes onto the show, what would be their one thing that they want to show people? So this could be about your journey, your lessons. What would your one thing be, Wayne?
I've got two. I thought about this. I've got two things. So consistency is key. Okay. When I teach kids, but the other one sort of goes along with that. Okay. So when I teach kids magic, because I love teaching it, and they always get frustrated that they can't pick up the cards and do whatever we've just done immediately. Okay, so consistency in your practice is, you know, practicing consistency and consistency in your practice is key. But the other thing I heard from somebody the other day, and I've been keeping on board a lot recently, is don't judge your week one by somebody else's week, in my case, 28. Remember, they had to start there to get there. You're just somewhere along that journey. Don't judge their final bit by your starting week. And that's about as, you know, as inspirational as I get, really. I'm worn out. I am now a spent force.
Yeah, no, you're going to have to lie down in a darkened room now after that. But that was good. That was damn good. So, Wayne, thank you so much for that. We pretty much speak every week anyway, so that's all good. And we'll get you back on the show, talk about Grow Live and all that kind of stuff. But Grow Live, if people don't know, it's all up here, 15th to 17th
really
September.
I'm really looking forward, Gary. I thoroughly enjoy being part of Grow Live 2020. I'm so pleased that you had me. I'm glad that you enjoyed what I did, but the speakers you had on worked so well, the atmosphere and the event. And this year, having seen what you've got involved, seeing the format and the way it's developing, if you're not booked on, get the link ready to go on that day. It's going to be worth seeing. Highly recommend.
Thank you so much. The pleasure was all mine. And leading up to the event, you were great. The event itself was fantastic. It was a no-brainer for me to get you back in. And yeah, tickets go live on the 30th of July, and speakers can apply from Monday. So nice and straightforward. Wayne, let's leave it there. Let's get you back on the show again another time. And yeah, thank you very much for your time, buddy. Cheers.
Gary, thanks for having me. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to The Grow Show. With new shows available every week, if you know anyone else who could benefit from these powerful insights, please share this podcast with them. And don't forget to subscribe.